Let us pray. Oh, most gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come yet once again just to say thank you, Lord. Father God, we ask right now that you hide me behind your cross, oh God, and speak to me and through me, oh God, that your people will be edified. But Father God, I ask right now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Giving honor to God and the angel of this house, Pastor Evans. We're going to come with a word from God. It's going to come out of the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 46. This is also found in Mark, the 15th chapter, and the 34th verse. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. In the Word of God, it reads, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have thou forsaken me?' My God, why have thou forsaken me? My God, why have thou forsaken me?'" You see, when you make this personal, the whole meaning, it just permeates throughout your whole spirit. We see on the news the other day, a healthcare worker was being interviewed. And this nurse, she was pleading with the American leadership for more PPE, personal protective equipment. She said, "I can't go home. I do this for a living. I do this because I care." But you see, the healthcare industry has been forsaken. They have this feeling that they have been forsaken because of poor logistics and poor leadership. They have felt forsaken. And you know, it's even worse when you feel like God has forsaken you. It seems all hope is lost. Now, if I want to pin a title on this, a subject, it's "No Longer Forsaken." No longer forsaken. But let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, in the B clause of that, "For he said himself, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" We are talking about no longer being forsaken. To be forsaken is to be abandoned, to be deserted, to leave one in dire straits, in trouble, difficulty, and crisis, to leave someone helpless. We've all experienced that in one way or the other. Matthew, the writer of this gospel, surnamed Levi, the tax collector, he records in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, that Jesus, when he went up into Gethsemane to pray, he asked his disciples simply to watch and pray. But later he found them asleep. Three times. Same chapter, verse 50. Jesus is arrested, and the disciples ran away, scattered. Can you say forsaken? Yes, Peter, he followed him, but In verse 34, Matthew records that Peter denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed, just as Jesus said he would. Can you say forsaken? In chapter 27, verse 23, I wanted to highlight that some of these people that cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna," as Jesus entered the city, these same people are now crying, "Crucify him, crucify him," for no good reason, on trumped up charges. Can you say forsaken? We've all been praised in the boardroom, in the conference room, but later to be escorted out by HR and security for no good reason? Can you say forsaken? They beat our Jesus. They ridiculed him. They scorned and they mocked him. They gambled for his clothes. And now we see here in Matthew chapter 45 that now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. Now, according to Jewish horology, the study of time, the sixth hour begins at 12 noon, and the ninth hour began at 3 p.m. So we see a period here of 3 hours, from 12 to 3 p.m. Darkness has covered the land, thus fulfilling Amos 8 and 9, and it reads, "And on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." Now, this wasn't no ordinary darkness. This was that deep country darkness. You know that kind of darkness where you can't see your hand in front of your face? This was that kind of darkness. I'm reminded in Exodus 10 and verse 21, during the ninth plague of darkness, the scripture reads that the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that can be felt." Can you imagine that? A darkness so thick that you can feel it? It seems that right now darkness has covered the face of the earth, and a plague has been unleashed, and we scramble to find treatment for a cure. As the healthcare industry and the American people has felt so forsaken by those who can provide resources to give proper treatment while protecting themselves from contracting this virus, we see uncertain days. We see uncertain days for our employees. We see employees that have lost their job. We see employers that have lost their businesses. We witness families as they have been hospitalized alone. You can't go in with them. It's too dangerous. We bear witnesses around the world that we see people dying alone. And you know, we also see people wondering that they don't even know who to turn to. Well, let me tell you, God is letting me know to tell you that you got to abide in him. That's how you know who to turn to. John 15 and verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Now that's good news. That's good news. And we go here to verse 46. It says, "Now at the ninth hour." Now during this whole time period, this 3 hours, Jesus was quiet. Jesus had never said, he'd never said a mumbling word. Now, I also want to point out that you don't hear anything about any of this crowd scorning him and mocking him and talking about him like you did before. Because, see, when this darkness rolled over in the bright of day, see, this put somebody in check. See, this let them know that, hey, something is going on here. So you might want to take notice. So, see, God has a way of getting your attention. But see, during this dark period, while Jesus was quiet there on the cross, you know, at the end of this, at 3 o'clock, bright of the day, and it's pitch dark, Jesus taking on the sins of the world. And Peter records in 1 Peter 2 and 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. And the King James says, by his stripes we are healed. We're talking about no longer being forsaken. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? The ninth hour, at 3 o'clock, we hear this. And why the ninth hour? Why the ninth hour? Well, perhaps because 9 in Scripture is significant to the end of man and the sum of all man's works. 9 is therefore the number of finality in judgment. Jesus, at this time, is torn by the separation he has to endure to take on our sins, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. Though the situation may seem bleak and lost, there was something going on that no one could see. And I'm reminded here of Elisha's servant. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verses 15 and 16. See, Israel was at war with Syria. And the king of Syria wasn't losing. And he asked one of his servants, How are they outwitting me? And he said that it's that man Elisha. He's down in Dothan. And he's been giving the king of Israel counsel. And the king of Syria plotted, said, okay, we're going to go and apprehend him. And so as you see that, this king probably remembered that when Elijah took care of those 50 soldiers when they tried to apprehend him. So this king, study shows that he sent an army. He sent 50,000 troops to get Elisha. And we pick up here at verse 15, and it says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, and he went out, behold, an army of horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant says, alas, my master, what shall we do? You see, the servant has gone out, you know, to do whatever he does in the morning. Got up early. And he looks out and he witnesses all of these soldiers. And immediately he began to get afraid. Now, he is wondering what is going on. He rushes back in to tell Elisha. And Elisha responds with this. In verse 16, he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You see, this is good news. Now, Elisha goes on to say in verse 17, he says, then Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of the horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Now you can just imagine that immediately when this young servant looked out and he saw what Elisha saw, all joy encompassed his body. His spirit was overwhelmed. He immediately began to say that God is with us. My God is with us. What are you saying, preacher? You're not alone. You're not alone. And you haven't been forsaken. The servant, when his eyes saw God's glory, he saw God's favor on him. He knew that now, tomorrow, I can take another step. Tomorrow, I can take another breath because God has saved me. God has saved me. That's what we see when we see Jesus on this cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But see, God didn't forsake him because, see, Jesus, had he not done this, we would be forsaken. We would not have the right that we have now because of Jesus' humility and his love for us. We are not forsaken. We are no longer forsaken, my brothers and sisters, by the grace in the blood of the Lamb. We love you and we praise your holy name. Thank you. Amen.